The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, in the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. Get us worldwide, 365, 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. Now, when you visit those two platforms, be sure and check out the locally produced programs page, and there you'll find World in Crisis and our archives. The last four programs are there for you to listen to at your leisure. One ages out each week, so there's always new content. Plus, there's several embedded programs that John thinks are necessary for you to listen to get a good baseline for where he's coming from with the biblical prophecy being played out in today's headlines. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is sinking into the abyss. We are drowning in spiritual deception and apostasy. You have precious little time before the church is removed from this world in which to make a decision, and a decision which affects your eternal destiny. It is a binary decision. You can choose spiritual life and heaven through Jesus Christ, or you can choose death and hell. There's no sitting on the fence, and I plead with you, I beg you this very night that you would pray to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and pass from death to life, and life eternal. Rob?
Absolutely. It is a binary choice, yes or no, black or white, so to speak. If you make a decision or you don't make a decision, and if you don't make a decision, you've decided against being saved, because accepting salvation, the greatest gift ever, is a conscious choice. Now, before we get too deep, John, let's go ahead and do the quote of the day. It's always well received.
Well, based on listener response, I would agree. Tonight, the quote comes from George Orwell, brilliant luminary from the 1940s. The man was a visionary, and in some respects, you might even say prophetic. Quoting Orwell, "People rarely lose their liberty to force. They surrender it to convenience," unquote.
Absolutely.
And I think we're seeing that play out in our world today.
But they say that's how liberty dies, to thunderous applause. That's a Star Wars quote, but it's the same situation. John, we had a really good question this week, I thought, and I wanted you to address. I want to give you plenty of time to address it. I don't know how long it'll take you.
But sure.
We talk about the rapture quite often, and the dead in Christ rising first, and then those who are alive and remain being caught up and in the air. But there's also a verse or two in the Bible that talks about being absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Well, if that is true, what's up with the body? What is so important about the body? And then what do you do about the ones that have been cremated or lost at sea or whatever? Can you go into that a little bit deeper?
Sure. Paul describes in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2, that when the Lord comes, the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up. The Greek there is harpazo, literally snatched away or caught up to meet the Lord
right.
In the air, and thus shall we be with the Lord forever. So the dead in Christ, remember, it's just the body in the grave. That's why the Bible says that the dead know not. That's because the body is in the grave. The spirit is in heaven. So let me make a distinction here, and so you understand the context. A living believer in Jesus Christ today, when they die, they are absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the body goes to the ground until the rapture of the church. When the Lord calls the church, the dead in Christ actually rise first. Now, remember, all this is instantaneous.
Yes, blink of an eye.
Right. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, it's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's about 1/1,000th of a second. So we're talking instantaneously. So the dead receive their glorified body, and then immediately, instantaneously, we who are alive are caught up and we receive our glorified bodies. And so that is the progression. But the fact is that a living believer before the rapture, when they die, their spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord, but the body goes back to the ground. I hope that answers the question.
Well, it answers it for me. Hopefully it answers it for the listener out there as well. And we appreciate that. We get good questions in just about every week. We try to address one. We don't always get to, but we try to address at least one question per week, and that was a really good one and a good explanation.
It's interesting, Rob, as we see the popularity of socialism spread.
Oh yeah,
that dovetails nicely with my exegesis of the Beast Kingdom, which will be ideologically and politically underpinned by Marxist socialism.
Right.
The economic system as well. And then, of course, the religious system will provide the deception necessary to reel them in. So we have a shock poll that was just published last week. America's youth want socialism on autopilot, literally. New research shows young voters supporting socialist policies and even an AI-run government. This crisis didn't happen by accident. No, it didn't. It's spiritual in nature. This comes out of the unseen dimension. It is part of the spiritual conflict we're fighting. And by the way, this is precisely, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this old preacher very carefully. This is precisely what they're going to get. This is what the world is going to get, because the image of the beast and the economic system will be animated and informed by artificial intelligence. It's the only thing that makes any logical sense, let alone spiritual sense. And so when the false prophet causes men to create an image to the beast, which can both speak, and causes many as do not worship it to be put to death, and that is at the same time, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that would include slaves and prisoners, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man could buy nor sell except he has the mark of the number of his name. And so this is inexorable. This is where it's heading. And that system will be willingly embraced, particularly by youth.
Now, oh, absolutely.
Well, one of the interesting data sets that came out also last week, apparently voters in New York, 18 to 29, voted 74% for this communist Mondani clown. And then women under 30 voted 89%. Now, that is interesting data. And what it tells you is that anybody under 30 is drowning in deception. First of all, they hadn't been taught history.
No, there's no such thing as history anymore.
Except revisionist history. So growing up, the author here grew up during the fall of the Berlin Wall and collapse of the Soviet Union. He says, I remember when socialism was a universal punchline. It stood for failure, repression, and economic ruin. I say amen to that, because if you study history, what you find is that Marxist socialism and communism always results in tyranny, misery, and death without exception. Ladies and gentlemen, it's never worked in the history of the world, but these fools think, well, we can make it work in America.
We can make it work better. We're better at this.
And make it more perfect.
Yeah.
Well, the only perfection is you're lined up and shot if you dissent. That's how that works. They take away your guns, and then you're told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. It's unbelievable.
Well, the ones with the guns always it's the ones with the plows who plow for the ones with the guns.
Well, that's what Jefferson said. those who beat their guns into plowshares will plow for those who don't. That's what Jefferson said. So, as the author notes here, not anymore. Today, socialism is the ideological spear point of the left. Many young Americans now insist that socialism is the cure for the affordability crisis squeezing them. Basically, they're too nervous to steal and too lazy to work. Some of them too lazy to get a drink of water. But in any event, so imagine that system fused with an all-seeing artificial intelligence. New polling from Rasmussen and Heartland Institute shows that a majority of likely voters aged 18 to 39 want a democratic socialist to win the White House in 2028. That is absolutely frightening, because that's the generation which is emerging and will be the next generation of so-called leadership for this nation.
If the Lord tarries for the next 30 or 40 years.
Well, that's right. Of course, I don't think it's going to be that long. But nevertheless, however long it is, this stuff will take root and it will spread like cancer. Nearly 60% of young Americans say they support more government housing and nationwide rent freeze and government-run grocery stores in every town. You can only imagine what kind of food will be in those grocery stores.
You know what it's like at a DMV? There you go.
I remember an episode of Seinfeld one time, and Elaine was talking about where to go to meet somebody to date. Jerry says, well, if you don't believe there's some ugly folks in this world, just go down to the DMV sometime. All righty then. So these numbers are not anomalies. They reflect a deeper reality. Many young Americans know little about socialism's actual history, consequences, or track record. Precisely right, because they're not taught. They're not taught civics, and they're not taught history. And what history is taught is revisionist history, for the most part. They have been conditioned to believe it can fix the challenges in front of them. One reason for that ignorance is uncomfortable but obvious. It's not only the schools, it's the parents, and I agree.
Oh, yes.
But the parents were indoctrinated in the public school system as well, and the elite universities.
Right.
According to the polls, parents were the most influential voices shaping their children's support for democratic socialism. More than half of respondents said their parents held a favorable view of it. That alone explains a great deal. And unsurprisingly, more than half also said teachers and professors view democratic socialism favorably. Well, it's no surprise here.
No,
that's what they teach. That's what they hire. after decades of ideological drift, even parents who grew up after the Soviet Union's collapse now believe socialism might work. It's never worked.
And it never will.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last century alone, the proximate cause of death, either directly or indirectly, by Marxist socialism and communism was 200 million.
Yeah.
200 million people.
I think that's a low number.
And it may very well be. Based on experience, if you follow teaching in the public schools, that rings true. Most of the colleagues openly sympathize with the socialist cause and are hostile to free market capitalism. This didn't happen by accident. No, it was begun by Mr. Dewey and the so-called public education system back in the 30s. He was a progressive. He was a socialist. And the first point of attack, Rob, was the academy. It was the education system.
Oh, yeah, because that's the very first thing.
That's right. They knew if they could indoctrinate the children, the rest would be
easy. Give them to me till they're seven, and I've got them for the rest of their life.
Right. Well, isn't that what Hitler said? Give me one generation?
Yeah.
As the public education system, the result is predictable. Many young people now see the free market as the enemy, not the mechanism that lifted billions out of poverty. Cronyism and the explosion of government power only blur the picture further. Layer onto this the collapse of basic literacy and math. When students can't read and can't perform math and can't write a coherent paragraph, they're more vulnerable to ideological manipulation and more likely to lean on machines to think for them. This is what the communists did. This is what the V.I. Lenin and his pals did, pursuant to the Russian Revolution in 1917. They gave the people slogans.
Yeah.
And that's what you hear today.
Right.
Like that idiot, what is his name, Jesse Jackson, so-called reverend or something, say nope to dope and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's all they know. If it doesn't come off the phone, they don't know anything
about
it.
They don't know anything that's not on the phone.
That's precisely right. So it shouldn't shock anybody that almost half of young Americans surveyed want an advanced artificial intelligence system to create society's laws, rules, and regulations. Nearly 40% want that AI system to determine human rights and control the world's most powerful militaries. Well, stand by, because you're about to get your wish.
Yeah, you're going to get exactly what you asked for.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you couldn't make it. Well, you can, but nobody will believe it. They'll think it's just science fiction.
Now, since, and this, of course, relates to, ties back to spiritual deception, because the churches are supporting some of this business.
Oh, yes.
You'll hear people say that Jesus was a socialist, and so,
yeah,
you know,
I've heard that.
That's right. Better read the last chapter of Paul's letter to the church at First Thessalonians. He said, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. He said, some of you are sitting around like moral, like busybodies, and living off the efforts of others.
Right. There's a difference in not being able to work and not being willing to work.
That is precisely right. If you can't work, if you're age, if you're old, if you're infirm, if you're mentally, physically incapable, that's one thing. But if you're healthy and just too lazy to work, that's an entirely different story. It's interesting that, and this, I'm going back to an article that we had touched on, I didn't finish, and it deals with hubris and replacement theology. But what was interesting to me is how this article details conservatives who have gone off the rails and have bought into a lot of anti-Semitism, bad history, revisionist history, and so forth, and have actually turned anti-Semitic. Candace Owens. I don't know what has happened to Candace Owens. apparently, she decided that you can't serve two masters, God and money. Well, that's fine, what the Bible says. The accusations seems to include the idea that some of these folks are on the Israeli payroll. There was a personal attack on them, which looked a lot like bearing false witness against your neighbor, because it was only meant to damage the reputation rather than produce ideas. Now, who she was lambasting was Ben Shapiro, who is Jewish.
Yeah.
She then allegedly began speaking blood libel conspiracy theories against the Jewish state by accusing Jews of ritual child sacrifice. This from Candace Owens? How does that happen?
Yeah, I heard something about that the other day, and I had to read it twice before it sunk in.
Well, she allegedly moved on to accuse Israel of assassinating John Fitzgerald Kennedy. This is unbelievable. How do you arrive at those conclusions? If you are sane, it just doesn't. It's not bared out by logic nor history. This assassination had everything to do with getting the U.S. into Vietnam. That was a big part of it. It probably was perpetrated by our own countrymen. I agree. And as a matter of fact, I think the CIA and a lot of the government was involved, including Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Oh, yeah. LBJ was knee-deep in it.
I absolutely believe that to be a fact. Israel had just been founded 15 years earlier and probably did not have the resources to knock off the most powerful man in the world.
Probably not.
They were too busy preparing for another Muslim war. That's what they were doing. She then allegedly called out a cult nation and implied that the Star of David was a hexog. The nation of Israel was not loved by God, she seemed to opine. It had joined the occult and embraced mysticism. That's a bold accusation, and it sounds like it came from the Roman church to me. Because they are anti-Semitic.
It just strikes me as so not like her, too. It just
Correct.
Is crazy.
She moved on to feature guests and provide credibility to various controversial people who were also anti-Israel. Finally, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, she seemed to claim that she was still close to the family until that was exposed as false. Her invitation to the funeral never materialized. But now let me move on. apparently, then there is Tucker Carlson. And some of his commentary and so forth has been pretty shocking in recent days. He has basically followed the same path as Candace. He was once a powerful enemy of the left. Now the left seems to have little interest in him. See, when you're no longer a threat, they lose interest.
Right. They no reason to waste the resources.
Correct. It's funny how once a person becomes anti-Israel, the left seems to sense a kindred spirit.
Yes.
Indeed so. The assessment is based on the fact that if you subscribe to YouTube, Tucker's content is seldom worth listening to. When he was on Fox, much was of his commentary was excellent. Tucker has engaged in the following eras. Listen carefully, Rob. Tucker has falsely accused many conservative U.S. leaders of prioritizing Israel's interests over America's, when this is simply not true. He believes that Israel exerts too much control over U.S. foreign policy for nefarious reasons rather than the fact that this nation is supporting an excellent ally and the only democratic nation in the Middle East.
Yeah, in that whole region.
In the whole region. That's precisely right. He sees Netanyahu, who is defending his nation against a demonic world that demands its destruction, as a warmonger who is drawing America into wars that are not in our interest. God will bless any nation that blesses Israel, and that blessing is very much in our interest. Look, Daniel 12:3 declared, God told Abraham, he said, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. That was an unconditional promise.
Right.
No strings attached. And that has been true for 4,000 years. Now, just get to jacking around those Jews and see how, if you're still around, let us know how it works out for you.
It ain't going to work out well.
No. He seems to justify the Palestinian attack on 7 October and sees Israel as the real oppressors. He has adopted the propaganda of the Hamas, which is a complete inversion of the truth. He hosts interviews with people like pro-Palestinian so-called Christian pastor Muther Isaac, I'm not familiar with him, who could not preach the gospel of his life depending on it. He seems to blame Israel for the crucifixion of Christ when we're all responsible. Did the prophets proclaim that Jesus was supposed to live a long life, get married, have kids, and die at a ripe old age? Absolutely not. He came to pay the eternal penalty for sin, ladies and gentlemen. So Tucker apparently is a member of the Episcopal Church. Well, that makes perfect sense. Which is spiritually dead and probably will not recover, according to this author, and I concur. He was likely never taught sound doctrine, so it is understandable that he does not comprehend the mission of Christ. But what force would cause him to blame the Jews for Christ's death exclusively? Tucker's losing credibility, at least with thinking people, and will eventually succumb to... he will likely succumb to spiritual deception and the curse that God has no doubt put on him. You cannot vilify Israel, become anti-Semitic. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause here. We're up against a hard break, but this is a good point to introduce five doctrines which are taught, I should say, there are five doctrinal errors being taught in mainstream denominations today, and you need to listen to this information very carefully. We're up against a hard break. God bless.
Five unbiblical doctrines in the church today. We are living in a time when error doesn't just walk through the front doors of the church. It's given a microphone and a title. The Apostle Paul didn't warn about persecution from Rome nearly as much as he warned about false teachers inside the church. Why? Because deception wrapped in religious language is far more dangerous than open opposition. So here it is, five unbiblical doctrines being preached in churches today. If you hear these from your pulpit, you're not being taught, you're being tricked. Number one, sow a seed to receive a miracle. Let me be blunt. This is witchcraft in church clothes. The idea that you can manipulate the hand of God with money is blasphemous. God is not a slot machine. He's not waiting for your pounds or your dollars so he can release your healing, your house, or your husband. This doctrine reduces the cross of Christ to a transaction booth. What does Scripture say? You were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. You are not the buyer. God is. Number 2, don't judge me, means don't say anything about sin. One of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. People use it as a shield against accountability. But the same Jesus who said that also said, judge with righteous judgment. John 7, verse 24. This doctrine teaches that love means silence, that grace means never correcting, never confronting, never calling out sin. That's not biblical love. That's fear disguised as tolerance. True love warns. True love rebukes. True love doesn't stay silent while sin destroys. Number 3, God wants you to be happy no matter what. It sounds nice, doesn't it? Almost harmless. But it's poison wrapped in sugar. The modern church has elevated happiness over holiness. We're told that if something makes us feel good, it must be from God. That's not scripture. That's secularism in a Sunday suit. Jesus didn't say, be happy, for yours is the kingdom. He said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew 5. God is not primarily interested in your comfort. He's committed to your conformity to Christ. Romans 8, verse 29. Number 4, you can be saved without repentance. Some churches have turned the narrow road into a wide highway. Just say a prayer, fill out a card, get baptized. Boom, you're saved. No change of heart, no turning from sin, no evidence of new life. But Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 3. Repentance is not optional. It's not a bonus feature. It's the evidence of true conversion. A gospel without repentance is like a surgeon refusing to remove a tumor. It's spiritual malpractice. Number 5. The Holy Spirit is here to entertain you. We've gone from reverencing the Spirit of God to reducing him to background noise for emotional highs. In many churches today, the Holy Spirit is presented like a hype man, showing up to make you shout, dance, and catch a vibe. The focus isn't on conviction of sin, growth in holiness, or boldness to witness. It's on goosebumps, falling down, and chasing feelings. But what did Jesus say? When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth and convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16, 8, 13. The Holy Spirit is not chaotic. He's not theatrical. He's not your personal cheerleader. He is God, holy, powerful, orderly, and purposeful. His work is not to entertain the church. It is to edify the church. Let's be clear. When you build your faith on false doctrine, you don't just get bad theology. You get no foundation at all. False doctrine may fill seats. It may grow platforms. It may trend on reels. But it cannot save, sanctify, or sustain your soul. So what should we do? Expose error. Preach truth. Call people back to the Word. Not emotion. Not tradition. Not man's opinion. The Word. Because only truth sets men free. John 8, verse 32. And only the true gospel leads to eternal life. Have you encountered any of these teachings? It's time to open our Bibles and test everything. Share this with someone who needs to come out of deception and into the truth. And feel free to like, share, and follow our page for more Bible-based content that challenges false doctrines, strengthens your faith, and points you back to the unchanging truth of God's Word. God bless you. Amen.
Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm Rob Jordan, co-host. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, with the studios of WJJC 1270 AM and Whispering 95.1 FM. Get us worldwide at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. Now, when you visit those two internet platforms, be sure and check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find the World in Crisis archives. The last four programs are there for you to listen to at your leisure, at no cost, of course. And one ages out each week, so there's always new content there. You can visit it each week and find new content. Also, there's several programs there that are embedded for you to listen to get a good baseline of where John stands on how things are being played out in today's headlines as far as they relate to biblical prophecy. There's also a place there for you to donate to the ministry if you so choose, remembering, of course, that 100% of every single dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to thank our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you listen carefully to the segment at the end of our first segment of this episode in World in Crisis relating to the five unbiblical doctrines being preached in churches today. That is very sobering information. It is chilling information, and you need to share that with those you love. Now, interestingly, and I'm going to conclude this business about conservatives going off the rails and so forth, but there seems to be a process developing for these folks who were once fighting against the demonic left but have become anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. The process looks like this. You lose your job for whatever reason, but you want to be relevant. Two, you bear false witness against Israel and its government, which gets you a lot of attention. Your vitriol is seldom directed at Islam, which is evil and oppressive to the core, and is turned against the Jews as if they're the biggest problem in the world. And according to Zechariah 12 through 14, what this world is going to find out is that God will bring all nations to battle against Jerusalem. And at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, Jesus Christ will return to this earth. The lion of the tribe of Judah will roar out of the heavens and make his enemies a footstool. And he will save that remnant of Israel. One third is specifically mentioned there. One third survive and will enter the millennial age. But Israel is the key to all of biblical prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. It is through Israel and the Jewish people that God revealed himself. He revealed his law. He brought forth his son. Jesus Christ paid the eternal penalty for sin at Calvary. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, guaranteeing our salvation. And it is through Israel and that piece of real estate over there by which God will bring about the consummation of the ages. Stand by for heavy roll, as we used to say in the Navy. So, number three, the left stops attacking you, at least not as viciously, which provides some relief. Four, you begin making increasingly absurd claims until you lose credibility. And five, you are rendered ineffective as you slowly lose the ability to reason, and that is evident. All you have to do are look at the exhibits A and B and so forth. France and England, which have demanded a Palestinian state because they're extremely anti-Israel, and now they're overrun by Muslims who have begun to subjugate them. I think England is about gone, Rob.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yep, absolutely. So, continuing here, signs, symbols, and the spirit realm. I hope your rapture ready. Sigils, signs, symbols, and the spirit realm. A world speaking an ancient language. Symbols have power. They communicate ideas faster than words, bypassing logic and speaking directly to the soul. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't get more deceptive than what I'm going to be discussing here, and I doubt we'll finish this. We may finish it this episode, but I won't promise you that. They communicate ideas faster than words. So from ancient runes and hieroglyphs to modern logos and entertainment imagery, humanity has long used symbols as a way to bridge the natural and supernatural. In recent decades, there's been a stunning revival of occult symbolism woven seamlessly into pop culture, corporate branding, and global institutions. What was once hidden in mystery schools and secret societies now flashes across billboards, music videos, and award shows, often dismissed as mere artistic expression. But make no mistake, it is powerful imagery, and it speaks to you. You are being drawn into spiritual deception without even knowing it.
Well, humans are wired to receive ideas and thoughts and things through their eyes.
Vision is much more effective than hearing.
Absolutely.
A picture's worth a thousand words, as they say.
That's precisely correct. Yet, for those with eyes to see, this is not random design. It's a language, a spiritual dialect, ladies and gentlemen, and it's being spoken loudly across our world today. The hidden power of the symbol. In occult tradition, a sigil is a symbol designed to manifest intent. Practitioners draw, charge, and meditate upon these designs to open gateways between the spiritual and physical realms. Every shape, line, and curve is meant to channel energy toward a specific outcome: wealth, fame, influence, protection, or destruction. Sounds a lot like the Witch at Endor, doesn't it,
though?
Or Sister Marie down here on the psychic healer and advisor or something. I'd be scared to death to step in the door someplace like that. You wind up like Saul.
There used to be one here in town.
I thought there was one up here on the corner by Hardy.
She may still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You can't make it up. So the hidden power of symbols is incredibly profound. We are witnessing modern occultists describe sigils as spiritual shortcuts, visual prayers offered not to God, but to lesser spirits. See, these are lesser gods.
Yes.
The Bible speaks to that. Jesus acknowledged it. The other side has a power. It's a dark power. Now, it is subservient to the living God. They can't outdo him. But these things are real. They exist. They're more real than your kitchen table, ladies and gentlemen. They believe that symbols bypass conscious resistance and embed themselves in the subconscious mind, influencing thoughts and behaviors. Interesting. The irony? The same principle is well known in advertising and marketing.
Right.
Corporations spend billions crafting logos that trigger loyalty, desire, and trust at a glance. You can think of any number, like Coca-Cola, for example.
Yeah.
Whether it's a bitten apple, remember the apple logo?
Right. Okay. Right.
An all-seeing eye, interlocking rings, symbols are designed to make emotional connections and invoke unseen influence. This overlap between ancient mysticism and modern branding should cause any believer to pause and discern, as our visual culture has become a digital temple of modern magic. That's an interesting perspective.
It is. Very interesting.
A digital temple of modern magic. And these symbols are communicating ideas that, as the writer says here, embeds itself in the subconscious.
Yeah, it's subliminal advertising, basically.
That's precisely right. Remember, some of you are old enough. Back in the day, movie theaters would play clips of, they would advertise, if you will, the previews and all that before the movie
right.
starts. And what they would have is like a picture of a Coke would flash, but you wouldn't see it. It's too fast.
Yeah.
Or a box of popcorn. And so what it was doing is subliminally suggesting that you need to go get a Coke and popcorn.
And you could see they've got video of it, and you see the people immediately get up and go out to the place and
right.
buy something.
Well, and the FCC, of course, they
stopped it. But
they did. But the concept and principle is still
well,
the same.
And I see it today a lot of times watching TV, these talking heads. Just look at the walls behind them and see what kind of pictures and stuff they have up.
That's
it's
right.
very interesting.
Absolutely.
I see Mao and Che and all these people sometimes.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I kind of know where you're coming from.
That's exactly right. So, in other words, you're a communist revolutionary.
Exactly.
Who's willing to murder people, by the way.
Yes.
So, from ancient sigils to global symbols, to understand the resurgence of occult imagery, we must first trace its lineage, and that can be traced to ancient Babylon on the plains of Shinar, to ancient Egypt, and to Canaan, which were saturated with symbolic worship. The Eye of Horus represented divine illumination. The serpent was a symbol of hidden knowledge and transformation. The pentagram and hexagram also served as portals for summoning. This is scary business, ladies and gentlemen.
It really is.
And he's wiggling. I believe we're up against a hard break.
We are. We got to get out of here for a second. We'll be right back. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gassert. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia. We're in the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. You can also get us worldwide at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of the Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Ladies and gentlemen, portals for summoning. So when secret societies like the Rosicrucians, Freemasons, and the later the Theosophical movement rose to prominence, they revived these ancient symbols, embedding them into architecture, national seals, and ceremonial art. The unfinished pyramid and the all-seeing eye on the U.S. dollar bill are prime examples. While many dismiss them as benign historical leftovers, these emblems reveal the influence of Enlightenment-era mysticism, the belief that man can ascend to godhood through hidden knowledge. And that is being espoused by academics today.
Oh, yeah.
The World Economic Forum those clowns believe they are becoming gods.
Well, it goes back to the Garden of Eden.
Sure. Yea, hath God said?
Yeah.
You shall surely die? Well, that's exactly what he said, you see. But they bought into it. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Selah. By the way, when you see the word Selah after a scripture, that means listen. Listen very carefully. Today, this philosophy has evolved into a new form of Luciferian illumination, the idea that enlightenment comes through rebellion, knowledge, and self-realization apart from God. And it's no coincidence that the very symbols representing that rebellion are now the most visible motifs in entertainment, fashion, and politics. Well said.
Don't surprise me at all.
I think that is an excellent summary. The entertainment industry, oh boy, a modern ritual stage. You think? If the ancient temple was the meeting place of gods and men, the modern stage has become its replacement. Music videos, award shows, and films are often filled with ritualistic imagery. Pyramids, eyes, flames, serpents, portals, and inverted crosses. These visuals are not arbitrary. They echo patterns of ancient worship that glorify power, sensuality, and self-deification. You remember that girl that was sitting in the skybox with Taylor Swift?
Yes.
One of the games that her main squeeze, what's his name, Travis Swift?
Travis Kelce.
Travis Swift or Mr. Swift. Travis Kelce. And so the camera would then go up to the sky. I don't want to see Taylor Swift. I'm trying to watch the ball game.
Right.
But anyway, she had some girl up there with her in her entourage, dressed in black, had some, I want to say, an inverted cross, and she was doing her fingers and these hand signs and so forth. And the spirit said to me, demonic to the core.
And that doesn't surprise me either. The entertainment industry is eyeballs deep in it.
Absolutely. And the occult. There
yes.
are they're entertainers who have claimed they sold their soul to the devil.
I believe that they believe that.
That's right. Although, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this old preacher now, you can't do that because your soul doesn't belong to you.
No.
It's not yours to sell. The soul belongs to God. And it returns to God. All righty then. So consider how frequently the one-eye symbolism, performers covering one eye, forming a triangle over the eye, or appearing beneath illuminated pyramids. In occultism, this represents the eye of Lucifer, the light bearer who offers forbidden knowledge. The imagery reinforces the same lie carried into the garden. You will be like God, and you will not surely die. That was the lie that was bought, and
the first lie told.
Death and hell was the result. Then there are ritual performers at public events. dancers in red robes, fiery stages resembling altars, songs evoking the spirit of rebellion. When millions of viewers unknowingly participate by watching and cheering, they are, in a sense, spectators in a modern mass ritual. Now, I would offer Exhibit A. You remember the Olympics in 1996?
Yes.
At the opening ceremony, of course, they, you know, it's always a spectacle and so forth, and they have these people out there dancing and waving all kinds of, not flags exactly, but like something you'd see in a band with
like a flag corps.
Yeah, exactly. And the narrative, they had this music, and here's what they said. Listen to this very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The spirits of the earth are calling the tribes of the earth. They're calling them to a one-world system under Antichrist. And this was on full display at the Olympics.
And the spirits of the earth. It's getting worse and worse.
Right.
It was worse than that this year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But the spirits of the earth are calling the tribes of the earth. And indeed, they are. The Apostle Paul warned that behind idols are not imaginary forces, but demonic ones. Cross-reference 1 Corinthians 10:20. When culture glorifies what God condemns, it opens spiritual doors. Through repetition, normalization, and spectacle, hearts become desensitized to darkness. Corporate logos and seagull effect. While the entertainment industry flaunts occult symbolism openly, the corporate world cloaks it in sleek minimalism. Many of the most recognizable logos trace their design elements back to the ancient spiritual imagery. The eye or pyramid, found in financial and tech companies, symbolizing surveillance, knowledge, and control, attributes of the coming beast system, by the way. The serpent or wave, used in pharmaceutical and medical branding, offered a nod to the caduceus, an ancient emblem tied to healing, and Hermes, the messenger of the gods. The swirl or spiral, common in energy and communication companies, representing spiritual evolution or portals in esoteric art. And the circle and triangle, representing unity of the spiritual and physical, or the threefold nature of divine power in occult teachings. Of course, not every designer is consciously invoking demonic forces, but in a world governed by spiritual influence, intent does not erase impact. When patterns recur across global commerce, politics, and technology, they reveal the fingerprints of a consistent spiritual narrative. Revelation 13 describes a coming world system under a unified mark, name, and number, a branded allegiance. Could it be that our world is already being conditioned to worship through symbols? I would say a resounding yes.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's beginning to squirm and wiggle. I'm going to have to conclude this next week, but I shall summarize it in the first section, and then we'll conclude it. We'll be looking at symbols in global institutions. We're also going to be talking about how 2026 might be the year that every major nation in the world mandates a digital ID to buy and sell. You're seeing the Bible fulfilled before your eyes, ladies and gentlemen. I beg you, I plead with you. My final thought is tied to Acts 4:12 tonight. And actually, I'm going to begin in verse 11. He, Jesus Christ, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It is the only name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood that can save you, who can deliver you from death and hell. And I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you would receive him into your heart and that you might pass from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassard, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.